his gospel reminds me a little bit of the Garden of Eden in a way, but instead of dealing with the capital vice of lust, it, I think, deals much more so with the vice of pride. See, in the Garden of Eden, we're told in the story of Genesis that after the fall, after the disobedience of Adam and Eve, that they noticed their nakedness. And as John Paul II pointed out, that it really was the first time that they looked at one another with the possibility of lust. In other words, they went from a place of perfect communion with one another and with God to the place where all of a sudden they could see one another as someone or something in a way to be used for their own pleasure. And lust was in a way a kind of temptation or contamination of the purity of their relationship. In some ways, I think today's gospel, when it speaks about the argument arising among the disciples about which of them is the greatest, really is kind of a parallel situation, but instead of dealing with lust, it really is dealing with pride. So here they are, the disciples, you can imagine at the beginning of the journey, they're probably grateful they're called by Jesus, they're grateful they're not doing it alone, that there are others with them. And then at a certain point, they start to look at one another and they start to compare. They start to think, hey, where do I come out in the equation of who is better or worse amongst these group of followers? It really is something that pride is at the root of. The desire, in a way, to be overly competitive, to want to be better than others, and to start to come up with a calculation in our own minds that justifies ourselves and makes sure that we come up just one rung above those who are around us. It really is the temptation of pride that we are dealing with here, and it is something that we are constantly invited to protect and to guard against, because it is a temptation which is a part of our life. There's four different points that I would like to mention as kind of ways to alleviate this temptation or to move away from it. And the first point is going to be, the first trap is that we should not make comparisons. Because when we make comparisons, it really involves judging another person. And we know we do not have the capability to judge people's intentions, motivations, let alone to know the background of exactly where they're coming from. But the first mistake really is to enter into that comparative process in our own minds. And this is immediately the first place we should stop. Because we're not called to compare ourselves to one another. There's one person who we are trying to compare ourselves to, and that is Jesus. And to him, we're always going to be coming up a number of rungs short, to say the least. The second point is going to be to say that each of us has plenty to focus on in our own journey, and in the journey of those we are responsible for or journeying with. Namely, the work of holiness, the work to become holy, the work to fulfill God's will. It really is and requires our constant effort and diligence to do. And the more we get distracted by comparing ourselves with other people, as we engage in those thoughts, as we entertain those thoughts, ultimately we're becoming distracted from what our focus is. And it's not surprising that sometimes I think we tend to be comparing ourselves with others the most when we feel like we're not doing what we should be doing, or we're not living up to the expectations that we should be. And to make ourselves feel better, we can start looking around to see how other people are failing in that regard too. But we're always called to remember, the only one that we ultimately can control the life of is ourselves. And therefore, we need to be placing our focus on fulfilling God's will and growing in holiness. The third point comes from today's gospel, which of course is the idea that we are all called to be on the same team. In particular, for those of us who are disciples, for those who are striving to follow Christ, we are literally on the same team. And therefore, we are called to be a source of help and encouragement to one another, and not a source of rivalry and bitter competition to the end. And this is what Jesus is saying when he says, whoever is not against us is for us. And Lord knows in the world that we live in today, there is enough opposition to Christianity, there is enough opposition to the disciples of Jesus, that the last thing that we need is to become rivals with one another, when really, as I said, we need all the help and encouragement we can get. And fourthly and finally, as Jesus alludes to in today's gospel as well, we're always called to remember that the economy of God operates on a totally different scale and system than what the economy of the world does. And when we make comparisons in this world of the things people have and the things that they're doing, the economy of God is simply something much different. And today's first reading from the book of Job highlights that quite impressively when you think, you know, on the one hand, Job, from a worldly perspective, had absolutely everything going for him. He was wealthy, had a beautiful family. Everything was moving in his direction, and all people looked at him as being blessed by God. Then, when it was all taken away, everyone looks at Job as if he has been cursed. But the reality is, Job is praised the most for his faithfulness to God, even in the midst of horrendous suffering. It really is that fidelity to God which winds up saying that Job really is someone special who really does love God above all things. And that, in a way, is the measure of his greatness. And that, too, then, is the point where Jesus is getting at when he says, whoever would wish to be greatest among you should be the least. And it really is pointing to this fact of the economy of God is flipped completely from the economy of this world, and therefore service and love of one another is the primacy as opposed to worldly success and titles. So my brothers and sisters, as we go forward, let us ask God for the grace that in particular in our Christian communities, in our parish, in our religious communities, that we would always look upon one another with fraternal love and charity, that we would always recognize that we are on the same journey toward Jesus Christ, that we would always be a help and source of encouragement to one another as we strive to fulfill God's will in our life. Amen.